Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm talking today with Craig Hemke, founder and publisher of the TF Metals Report. And Craig, it's always great to get you on the show and get your thoughts, but what a wild Friday to have you on, where we just got a hot CPI reading, hotter than October, at 6.8%, showing that inflation is still trending higher. And when you look at the rest of the markets, it doesn't seem to make any sense. What do you make of the hot CPI reading today and how the markets are reacting?
Well, first, Shad, if you're going to do this, you've got to do it the Corey way. You got to say, welcome in to another daily editorial.
Welcome in to another daily editorial here at the KE Report.
There you go. That's better. All right. So anyway, as we editorialize what's going on here today, this is just another example of the insanity of the markets. You know, if they even want to call them that anymore, you know, and it's not like I'm just some gold bug complaining. You know, I spend a lot of time on Twitter because it's a great news source through the day. If you ever want to find out immediately what's going on, you know, if there's some, I don't know, you know, accident or act of war or something, you go to Twitter and you get live coverage of it, basically. I mean, everybody complains about the markets because nothing seems real anymore. The central banks are so deeply involved in everything, not just gold and silver, everything, as they try to keep all the plates spinning at the end of the great Keynesian experiment. And so look at the bond market. I mean, we're talking almost 7% annualized CPI. What was the actual month over month? 0.8%, Shad?
Something like that, yeah.
So if we just do that one and compound it, we're talking 10%. And yet the bond market rallies. So people are out there, allegedly people, but I would say it's probably not people, are out there buying 10-year Treasury notes at 1.46%. It was 151, which is lunacy in its own right, at 7:30 this morning, Central, and now all of a sudden it's 146. So the bond market has rallied. People are buying, locking up money for 10 years at 1.45% when inflation is more than 6.5. That's a negative 5% loss of purchasing power. And yet, here we go. And so, you know, the dollar looks like, you know, the dollar's actually now down on the day, but everybody looks at that and says, well, you know, the dollar does this, the dollar does that. Well, every other currency is having these problems and losing their purchasing power, whether it's the euro or the yen or the pound or whatever. And so it's all just madness. All of it seems designed to just kind of keep the plate spinning, keep the equity markets afloat, because the last thing that can be afforded by the central bankers who are, like I said, so desperate to avoid a collapse of liquidity, the last thing they can afford is to have the equity markets go down. And so everything is just so distorted. I mean, Shad, geez, I've been doing this for 30 years, not TF Metals Report, that's only 11, but so I've been in the financial industry, securities industry, my whole life. And I think back, you know, you go back 30 years ago to 1991, it wasn't like this. I mean, things actually at least had some rational common sense behind them. But now, you know, in 2021, it's just like it's head scratching on a daily basis. And today is just another one of those days.
Well, we were joking off mic, Craig, that if we took a time machine and even went back 5 years or 10 years and told people that the negative real rates are negative 5%, and yet people were buying bonds and gold has been stuck in a range and hasn't really moved, it would be hard to believe for people. And so do you think that some of the bond buying is still, people forget, while the Fed is tapering, they're still buying billions of dollars worth of bonds a month. Do you think it's still the Fed backstopping it? Or what do you think's driving the interest in bonds in this kind of an environment where they're immediately going to have their value eroded by inflation?
Yeah, I think that's a large part of it, Shad, is this kind of perceived Fed put, right? Because, I mean, we talk about it, we kind of joke about it a little bit too, that this idea the Fed, I mean, the world can never allow interest rates to go up, right? The U.S. is already paying $500 billion a year on $30 trillion of debt, and it's only $500 billion a year because they've, you know, they got the average interest that they pay down around 1.5%. Well, if that goes to 3, they're paying $1 trillion a year. Goes to 6, they're paying $2 trillion a year just on debt service. Okay, and the whole thing spirals out of control. So when you and I know this, you got to figure, you know, that some of these asset managers and institutions and even central banks know this as well. They know the Fed can't allow that to happen. And so they can talk about taper and they can let maybe the short-term interest rates like the two-year note move up, but they just can't possibly allow longer-term rates to move up. So you got like a Fed put behind things. You know, anybody that studies their history knows that the last time the U.S. was in this type of fiscal and financial condition was after World War II, where debt to GDP was well over 100%. And we were in, again, the same kind of financial picture. Well, how did the Fed respond? They responded with yield curve control and sharply negative real interest rates. Even go back to the 1970s, where we had a, you know, stagflationary environment like this. Again, they've got the highest inflation in the U.S. since 1982. We had sharply negative real rates back then. And, you know, somebody just reminded me, Touche, this is coming to me right now. I saw something earlier this week. I think it was Paul Volcker who said the only mistake they made in the policies of the 70s trying to get out of it was they allowed the gold price to rise. Okay. Because, again, that is a barometer as well. In a sense, maybe, I don't know, you can say it's an arcane barometer. There's people out there that say gold doesn't matter anymore because the world's moved on to Bitcoin and stuff like that. But the central bankers and the people that actually control these trillions of dollars, it matters to them. You know, and if gold was soaring and $3,000 right now and up 50% this year, you know, that would make, I don't know, it would lead to a different perception than gold being actually down $100 on the year. And so there's just a lot of things that just don't seem to make any sense anymore. And it's just because, you know, whether it's the bond market or Forex or the stock market that never goes down, I just think the central bankers are in there doing everything they can to keep the plate spinning.
Well, let's not forget, it's not just archaic, the gold, it's the barbarous relic, Craig.
Right.
So it's interesting that you brought up the currencies and you brought up that the last time this was happening, you know, in a World War II situation, we're in a bit of a currency wars, you know, to quote Jim Rickards.
Yep.
And it's a race to the bottom in most of the fiat. So when people look at the dollar strength, as we've mentioned on here many times, you can say that you have a strong dollar, but it's really in comparison to what? You're comparing it to other fiat currencies that are even worse off. So when people overseas, let's say that they're in Europe or they're watching some of the tension in the Asian markets, is it possible that there's a lot of foreign investors buying bonds, and maybe that's where some of the buying's coming from, outside of the circular money train that is the Fed and the money printing here in the United States? Could it be that there are foreign buyers of these bonds and that's where some of this buying is coming from because they're in a worse situation over there?
Yeah, I agree. We still have nominally higher rates than we have in Japan or Germany, right? So if you're looking for a place to park your cash and you see 1.46%, yeah, whatever, you know, we'll worry about the real rates later. I just know I'm going to get my $1 million back 10 years from now. I'm not going to worry about what they're worth. So there's that. There's also, and I remember you and Corey and I talking about this over the past several months, you know, there's ever since the Fed increased to a whopping annualized 5 basis points, the interest that they're paying on excess reserves, that overnight repo volume has surged to like $1.5 trillion. Okay. Now, again, that's not taking in $1.5 trillion every day. It's $1.5 trillion comes in, $1.5 trillion goes out, $1.5 trillion goes in, $1.5 trillion goes out. It's just $1.5 trillion tied. And that money is, you know, being quarantined or whatever you want to call it for that little itty bitty fraction of a basis point on a daily and nightly basis. And I think the Fed probably thinks that, you know, part of that cash could flow into the bond market as well. So if they were to step away and taper back their buying, maybe some of that cash is coming in on a daily basis and supporting the bond market too, in the absence of the Fed having to do it. Now, maybe if that's the case, that can't go on forever either. And so the market then again begins to then look at, and this I think is just hilarious, past the next round of tightening to the next round of easing. I saw those headlines this week too. It's like, what? They haven't even tightened yet. And you're talking about easing after the tighten? But that's where we are in 2021. It is just crazy. And it's never boring, but it sure makes me just, you know, a lot of days I just sit back and consider my stack of shiny physical precious metal and how price may fluctuate, but the value only seems to go up. And that gives me consolation, I guess, when it gets crazy.
Well, we have seen a little bit of a bounce in the shiny precious metals today, but not much considering just how extreme the inflation reading is on the CPI reading. But you mentioned the 1970s period when we also saw high energy. We saw that stagflation and that the only mistake they made was letting the price of gold and silver run. But we also know that we're in this bizarre period where we do have a somewhat slowing economy, but we've had this reflation trade all year. But we're hearing all these terms thrown around. Hey, watch out, Craig, we could be in a deflation. We could be in a inflationary depression. Are we in stagflation? Are we in reflation? So where do you stand on all that? I mean, it seems like we've clearly have an increase in inflation. Even Jerome Powell himself admitted he has to retire the word transitory, which that was the most transitory thing about 2021, was the use of the word transitory. And now we're in this situation where we're supposed to have a Fed that's going to hike the middle of next year, and they're trying to increase their tapering to get it done earlier to start fighting this inflation. Do you think there's going to be a checkmate moment next year where we realize, or the general markets realize, we can't really hike rates that far, never, not anywhere close to 6.8%, without that debt burden that you brought up a minute ago becoming an issue? I mean, do you think there's going to be a moment of realization, an aha moment, that will underpin some value in the precious metals next year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you think that period of 2013 to 2018 was 5-6 years where the Fed was spinning this yarn about normalizing the balance sheet, normalizing interest rates and that sort of thing. And that over a course of 5-6 years, they drew down the balance sheet $700 billion or something like that. And then things basically broke 3 years ago at this time, right in December of 2018. And they had to reverse policy because the stock market had crashed 20% and all that kind of thing. And then eventually it was formally reversed, and they started cutting in June of 2019. I think this time it's the same charade. They're going down that route again. It's just not going to be 5 years. I mean, it's barely going to be 5 months between when they started talking about tapering and then, you know, they're going to have to reverse course. And you know, it might be sometime next year when this becomes apparent, like what you said. So, yeah, that moment is coming. And I just, let's equate what then comes next in the precious metals to what has taken place. Either go back to 2018, 2019, gold was 1250, maybe 1300, hadn't gotten above 1350 for 6 years. And then it rallied all the way up to 2100. So that's about a 50% move that now we've digested with about a 20% pullback, something like that, right? 25. Or think about it, let's go back to the 70s again, Chad. This is not a really good analogy because price had been fixed at $35 an ounce, you know, for so long. But once that was removed, it went from 35 all the way to 200 by 1975, and then fell back to 100. And that shook a lot of people out. And we were like, oh boy, that's a 50% pullback. You know, this is, and then went from 100 to 900 in 2 years' time. So that next phase of that rally is coming. You know, if you believe in the long-term charts and stuff like that, you can measure out numbers that look pretty good, you know, in the kind of cup and handle formations and what that might foreshadow over the next couple of years. But I don't know. I'm reluctant to go down that road at this point because this has been such an aggravating year. And, you know, if you'd have told me back in January when I was forecasting sharply negative real interest rates, because I knew inflation was coming and I knew the Fed couldn't hike rates. And so I thought real rates would go to -2, -2.5. And so I thought gold would go to 2,300. Well, here we're -5 and gold's down. So, you know, when everything is so, it just seems like such a charade these days, it's pretty hard to get too carried away expecting craziness. But every, you know, there's, past history suggests it, the chart suggests it. So yeah, maybe next year that moment is coming where the emperor is revealed to, you know, be standing there naked and everybody rushes in and gold finally plays catch up.
Well, and just one more question for you before we wrap up. So a lot of people are now saying that we may be at a high watermark here in inflation, and that what's going to be more important as we move into next year is the rate of change. Will inflation temper back down some and get back to 6, then 5.5, 5, 4, and if it starts going down, compressing the real rates, that actually may keep a lid on not just precious metals, but also commodities. Do you think that could be a risk in the precious metals market next year, that we're seeing the highest CPI readings at this level, and that if it compresses back down, and if we actually see the yields come up, it would crush real rates down some? Do you think that's a risk going into next year?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And I mean, that you could say that's what the problem has been all year this year. You know, you mentioned the transitory word earlier. You know, you got to think of who buys gold futures, because, you know, the price is discovered on the COMEX, and you got to have more buyers of the futures contracts and sellers. And who buys it? You know, hedge funds and large institutions and the like. And they've been acting as if, well, what do we need gold for? It's all transitory, right? Even these sharply negative real rates are transitory. So I can go ahead and buy a 10-year note with lock in a negative 5% real rate this year. But hey, if we go into a deflation environment over the next 7 or 8 years and we get into deflation, man, I'm going to end up making money on real terms on this thing. And so everybody's been buying that transitory thing all year long. And so my goodness, you can see where that would perpetuate in the next year. And, you know, oh, now look, oh, isn't this great? Inflation's back down to only 5%. that could definitely play out. And I'll give you one more thing, though, that seems to be forgotten in all of this. You know, the Fed always used to talk about how any policy change that they make, you know, hiking or cutting the Fed funds rate, takes at least 6 to maybe 9 months to have any real economic impact. So even in the most hurried pace of hiking rates, which we'll get an update obviously next week with the FOMC, they're talking about maybe a rate hike by June. And so would that have any impact, tightening, or, you know, if that can have an impact on this kind of inflation, would that have any impact at all on inflation next year under the Fed's own timeframe guidelines that they used to tout? So next year, man, is going to be crazy, Shad. And there's going to be so many other things going on. My God, it's another election year here in the U.S. Think of how crazy 2020 was when there was an election year, you know, and then you've got all the geopolitics as the bankers and the politicians in Europe try to deflect blame for all the problems they've caused with spiking energy prices and spiking natural gas prices. So they're going to get, oh, no, look, it's Russia's fault. It's Russia's fault. You know, and there's all these crazy geopolitical issues we're going to have to navigate. My concern for 2022 is that the changing inflation rate may be one of the least of our problems. And we'll see.
That's a good point. Just when we think we've seen the craziest year on record, we have it preceded by another craziest year on record. So all eyes will be on the Fed policy, but also all the other currents and the other financial strings that are being pulled. It's always great having you on the show, though, Craig, and getting your thoughts. And great to have you wrap up this crazy CPI inflation reading Friday with us here today at the KE Report. If people like Craig's thought, make sure to go over to his site and check him out over at TF Metals Report. We'll put a link down below this editorial. And Craig, have a great weekend, and hopefully we have a better week next week in the precious metals.
We're going to have no shortage to talk about with that FOMC next week. That's for sure, Shad. Thanks for having me on.